For the past few years, our evening service has had the services of two sisters who come to provide the musical assistance to help us sing better. And these two sisters are departing for the States. They do not belong to our church, though, and for their kind services, I'm going to ask them to come and appear here that I can pray for them. Christine and Jia Yan, where have they gone to? Disappeared. Christine, where is your sister? Oh, yes. All right. It's so good to have you both help us voluntarily playing piano and organ. Let us pray for them. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the love of these two sisters for Thee that has sent them here to help us with the music. Now as they go to America, may Thou go before them to open doors and make smooth pathways. In all that they undertake to do, may Thou lead, guide, and provide. Make a way of success in all that they do to the glory of Thy name and according to Thy own timing to bring them back again to us. We commit them to Thy loving care in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us turn to a chorus which I want to give to you to take home tonight to remember our evening message. Number 76, In Every Home Sings. Please get this little hymn book. Every Home Sings, number 76. Would you like to help us with the music once more, please? Only Jesus, always Jesus. My heart will praise, my song I'll raise. Save and heal me, sanctify me, glorious Lord, soon coming King. Number 76, give us the first line, please. Only Jesus, always Jesus, my heart will praise, my song I'll raise. Save and heal me, sanctify me, glorious Lord, soon coming King. Only Jesus, always Jesus, my heart will praise, my song I'll raise. Save and heal me, sanctify me, glorious Lord, soon coming King. Jesus, our Lord, the soon coming King, His cause and His kingdom is worthy of you to spend and be spent. Tonight's theme is to spend and be spent. And I want all of you here to consider, have you spent anything for the Lord? And are you willing to be spent yourself? Have you brought one soul to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you? Oh, my friends, the joy of knowing some soul brought to the Lord because you cared is a joy that surpasses every joy on earth. My dear friends, as we ponder tonight's message, I pray that you will pray as we go into the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. that you will consider. And as I said, will you please pray? I wish all of you will make it a habit. Whenever the Word of God is being preached and you hear the Word, pray. What do you pray for? Pray for the instruction and illumination of the Holy Spirit, that you will understand what is being preached. For without the Holy Spirit to instruct you, you cannot understand. What is Paul talking about when he says, I am very willing and very glad to spend and to be spent for you, writing to the Corinthian church. In the passage we have just read, this is the testimony of Paul's experience that led him to say, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you for the sake of the gospel. Verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Please follow, because these things are facts. They're not imaginations nor theory. Paul says, if you talk of ministers of Christ, let me tell you what I have done. The things that have come to me because Christ, my Lord, called me. Now please follow. From verse 23, Paul says, my record is one of labors. You got to run because I'm not reading everything. Labors more abundant, stripes above measure, prisons frequent. Verse 25, beaten. Next line, stoning. Next line, shipwrecks. Next verse 26, journeyings often with all kinds of perils. Verse 27, weariness and painfulness, watchings, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness. And finally, besides all these things, the care of all the churches. Now this is his experience. The experience of an apostle. The experience of one who was called to serve the living Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, are we not called? All of us are called to be witnesses. And what have we suffered for Him? I ask myself, and none of these sufferings have ever come my way. None of it. All I can say is I sit in the Boeing 747 and enjoy my life. And I'm ashamed. But God is good that today He spares us from all these. These things came to His chosen servant. One who had been an enemy of the gospel. A persecutor and destroyer of the church. And Paul says, my Lord was gracious and merciful to me, in that He chose me to be His servant and put me into the ministry, and I do all these things joyfully, happily. I am very glad even to spend and to be spent for you. What for? In order that the gospel may go on. In order that the church in Corinth may grow and be strengthened and built up in the most holy faith. And I say the same here, dear friends. Why do you come to this sunset evening service? What for? And I say the same. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. If need be, that all of us coming to this service night after night, week after week, may go home every time rejoicing that we have been instructed in the most holy faith, and the Word of God has come to us with some freshness of understanding and power, and our Christian lives been made meaningful. You come here and go back and say, I heard nothing. I said, that is a waste of time. We're not here to be entertained, not at all. This choir here has sung beautifully. to stimulate us, to inspire us, to provoke us to understand Jesus, so precious, and in that chorus we sang, only Jesus, always Jesus. This is the purpose of our coming here tonight, to make us to be better Christians than to be better witnesses. Oh, my friends, learn from the example of Paul the Apostle in all these things that he writes about. It is with passion. And I say, you cannot follow the Lord. You cannot serve Him with a lukewarm heart and expect to be blessed. Pray for passion. You say, well, I'm just an ordinary believer. What passion do I need? I say, well, everyone who has received the salvation grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has a part in His death and bleeding on the cross, and His resurrection and His coming again, you have a part in it. Follow the Lord, serve Him with passion. Oh, consider what He has paid, the price He paid, the price of blood, to save you and to save me, and then to call us to serve Him as what? Witnesses, dear friends. Are you a witness? I started this evening by saying, I want you to consider, have you ever had the joy of leading one soul to Christ? Have you? If not, why not? Don't say you can't. Of course, all of us can. Only thing is we do not think about it. So tonight's theme is to spend and be spent. It's not for the apostle alone, but for everyone who has been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. To know the Lord as Savior, we have that wonderful commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Be my witnesses, so says our Lord. I want you to think of Paul's calling. For you cannot be a witness unless and until the Lord calls you. How did God call Paul? For this, please turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. And hear these words written by Luke, the beloved physician, will surely touch your heart. The testimony of Paul himself, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. Please turn there and follow. Here the apostle, under arrest and shortly to be consigned to his prison in Rome, is testifying before the king Agrippa. Verse 13, listen carefully, follow me please. At midday, O king, I saw in the way, where is this way? The road to Damascus, where Paul, as Saul, the destroyer of churches, was armed with letters of authority. Now this is the context. Follow, please. In the way, I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. We were all thrown to the ground, fallen down. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen, I heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew tongue. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I say, praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. That Jesus Christ, the one being persecuted, who could have just finished him off like this, came to him and called him and had mercy on him to enlighten him and to turn him around and to call him to be a servant. How about that? Anyone here in that situation? Rebelling against God and going against the commandments and against the church and against all the Christian ways? May God have mercy on you. Now, verse 16, as he had mercy on Paul. Verse 16, and but arise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Notice these two things. Saul the destroyer was to become a servant. One who persecuted the church was to become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said that's what we all ought to be. Please, if you have never considered this tonight, when you go home and ponder, to spend and be spent means what? Here it is in this verse 16. To be a minister, to be a servant of God, and to be a witness to the Most High God, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17, the Lord Jesus continuing to say, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Saul's ministry was cut out for him. The Lord was so kind. This is your particular portfolio. I am going to send you, not particularly to the Jews, but to the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the Romans, and all those who live in the Mediterranean area. Verse 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. What a wonderful transformation. Dear friends, anyone here who is Satan tonight, serving Satan tonight, God have mercy on you, call you, speak to you, and turn you around and change your allegiance from serving Satan. Are you? Please don't. You say, how can I serve Satan? I say, if you are not serving the Lord, you are serving Satan. If you are not in the work of God, in the church of God, you are in the world, and that is the territory of Satan. And beware, please don't. There is no profit in there. Right? And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So says the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful speech, isn't it? I say, praise the Lord. Our God is so gracious and merciful. He does not inflict the punishment that we deserve. And he's ever so merciful. Verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I say that is Paul's testimony. He met with the living Christ, whom he thought was dead and gone. Now on the road to Damascus, the Savior himself, risen from the dead, comes and talks to him and says, look, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Don't do that. But I have special work for you. You, I have chosen you, a chosen vessel. You are going to be my witness and my servant among the Gentiles. From now on, you're going to appear before kings. Indeed, right now he's before King Agrippa. Dear friends, God has so much work for all of us to do. So much to do. So few to do it. Will you consider this? To spend and be spent is you, me. Everyone who has received the salvation grace, this message speaks to you. What are you doing with your life, my friends? I thank my God. In the year 1935, he sent his servant. Now I have said this testimony several times, but I say you will be blessed and you hear it again. Because there is no more wonderful event in my life than when I went into that church meeting in Teloai Street called Methodist Church in those days, Bible believing, Bible witnessing, and a Bible testifying church. I went there, and there God dealt with me. Is God speaking to you, anyone here tonight? There, God's servant John Soong spoke, and that changed my whole life from that day till now. When? 1935. Now I want to read to you briefly how God called John Soong before he came and called me. And not just me, but hundreds of others in Singapore and throughout Southeast Asia and in China, called to serve the one true living God. Who was this man, John Soong? What was he? Who called him? How was he called? John Soong, servant of God, one in, I don't know how many, once a century, one man out of all the millions of Chinese, God called him. In 6 years, going to America, like these two young ladies going to America, as a hardship student, meaning to say, there is no support from any quarter. You go on your own. All you have is a passage. Once you get to the new world, you are on your own. There he worked and studied. In 6 years, God enabled him to get his bachelor's, master's, doctor's all together, every time topping the class. How can such a thing happen? I say, with God, nothing is impossible. God had a special function for him. That's why God enabled him to do that. Mind you, he did not have special lessons in English before he came. Just the very basic working knowledge of English. And he came and he did it. God was great. By that time, it was 1926. 6 years after he arrived, then he remembered, as a young man, he had resolved that he would serve the Lord. Someone recommended Union Theological Seminary. What was it? The hotbed of apostasy and liberalism, where God is dead theology took its birth in America. And there he went, and there he began to be taught how to doubt the Bible and how to consider all the religions as ways to God, until his faith was shaken, nearly shipwrecked, until he was in great confusion. He didn't know what was what, until he thought life was not worth living. Why? So much confusion, so much anti-Christian thought. At that time, he was a complete wreck in the faith. Months of spiritual struggle came to him. This was the winter, end of 1926. By the time it came to 1927, things were in a complete turmoil. He says, the burden of my heart grew heavier and heavier by the day, until I thought it was not worth living anymore. In other words, why should I live if all my thoughts and hopes and aspirations of serving God is now come to this juncture? I had no longer any desire to live. Then came everything to a crisis. I said, praise the Lord. Thank God that God was with him, yet not deserting him or forsaking him, but very much with this young man. February 10th, 1927, John Soong prayed and persevered in prayer through the night, struggling within himself. What is the true meaning of life? Where is the truth? Is it in Christ or in all these other things? At that time, God began to work and showed him all his sins. What sins? Pride. By then, he was at the top of the academic world, conquering every obstacle, winning every prize, very proud, began to be a hypocrite, saying what he did not mean. He confessed his hypocrisy. I'd say, dear friends, let none here ever play act and become a hypocrite, putting up a front that you are not inside. Unbelief, because he had turned from the truth that he knew. But God was merciful to deal with him until he saw all these as sins. Then he confessed, Lord, have mercy on me. Just then he turned to the Word of God and read about the crucifixion and the suffering of Christ. And the Lord appeared to him wearing the crown of thorns and bleeding, and lovingly spoke to him. That was about midnight. And the Lord said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, what a release at that time. The great burden of his heart for months, which had been torturing him, fell away when the Lord spoke to him and said, Son Jie, your name from now on will be John. From now on you will be as John the Baptist. When I first came as a babe and grew up as a man, the herald of my coming was John the Baptist, of my first coming. Now you become John to herald my second coming. For I am coming soon, but you be my messenger and herald. Your name will be John from now on. And the Lord commissioned him to be the herald of his coming. A great burden rolled away from him. And he says, Lord, take my life. Forgive me for all the past, all the unbelief, all the doubting, all the hypocrisy, all the unbelief fell away. 1935, he began a four-year visit, annual visit to Singapore and Malaysia. 1935 was my first contact. I may say this, dear friends, it was by no accident. We lived in Kluang, and it was no accident that Miss Leona Wu, you may have read from the book John Suk, My Teacher, came from China with a report to our parents and to our church in Kluang. Those of you who live in Johor will understand where Kluang is. It's in the center of Johor State. And there she came as a missionary to our church and said, look, there is revival in China. A servant of God called John Sung, and he is coming to Singapore. Pray for him. Pray for his coming. Pray for yourself. Come to the meetings. We went. And there revival broke. You say, what is revival? Recently, there were meetings in the stadium and they put in 30, 40,000 people and say, Holy Spirit, revival! No, dear friends, nothing of that kind. Nothing of that kind. This is spurious, counterfeit. When Dr. John Sung preached, he exposed sin, attacked hypocrisy. All the showpiece Christians came under attack and all the sins of the people were exposed. People came to the front and wept and repented of their sins. Every meeting, dozens of people will come and repent and confess and change their lives. This I advise you to read in John Sung, My Teacher. From the very first day when I heard, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Absolutely. At the age of 10, the message came so clearly, I said, Lord, save me. From that day, my life was in the hands of God. 3 years later, we followed him to Muar. That morning in Moab sealed my following of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there I was challenged. Who here among the audience, young people, will want to give your life to serve the Lord? Give your life, young people. I never forgot that. I said, dear friends, when the Holy Spirit works, your life will be completely transformed. Your direction of life, your purpose in life, your ambition in life is changed forever. When you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in and takes charge, He will remind you from time to time, you are a child of God. You are given for His service. You are going to be a servant of God. I never forgot that. 1938. 1968. 30 years passed. I was reminded very dramatically in 1942. Alright, 38 to 42, also 4 years. What happened? Japanese War and the British surrender. I spoke about this some months ago. How the great British Empire surrendered to a bicycle army. Japanese. They thought they were only able to make second-hand toys. Now able to fly aeroplanes and throw bombs and to sink the cream. The flagship of the British Navy, two of them went down in the South China Sea. Japanese. The last day of the war, we were in the bunkers. Our next door neighbor had a direct hit from a Japanese shell. Bang. And one man lost a leg. We asked ourselves, why did God spare us? How is it the shell hit that bunker and did not hit ours? I said to myself, yes, what is the meaning? God's word came to me. You gave your life to the Lord to serve Him in 1938. Now it's 1942, 4 years. Never forget. Of course I never forgot. How could I forget? God who has saved me from my sins, to make me His child, now save me from the shell of the Japanese. Lord, I promise You, when the time comes, at that time, I had not gone to medical school yet, 1942, right? After that, pursue a career. 1968, how many years had passed? By that time, I tell you, dear friends, it was hobnobbing with high society. In academics, when you are head of department, you got to be there every year, annually, to meet the Prime Minister and all the people. And some people love it. Wonderful. Some people work their whole lives to get there. I did not work half my life at all, but I got there. Once you get there, I was very sick and tired of it. I was not sick of the Prime Minister, by all means, no, not that. But I tell you, I was sick of that kind of goings on, carrying on, always have to attend. Of course, I attended properly, you know. I went there respectfully, a big part of the system. Every departmental head has to be there every year, during a certain time. That one, not a problem, not a problem. But the message is, I don't really belong here. I have a job to do as head of the department in KK Hospital. Let me do it. And do it well. And discharge my duty to the glory of God, which I may say I did. But then to continue, and to pursue, and to rub shoulders with top people, the high and mighty, those things irked me. You know what I mean? You get very tired, uncomfortable. Why? Why is it so? I said, because once the Spirit of God grips you, I'm very gladly willing to spend and be spent for the work of God, for the kingdom of God. for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that souls be saved. He's sitting in the KK hospital, I am to ensure that mothers come in and have a baby safely and go home with a living baby. That's my job. Did I do it? Yes. But I ask myself, you don't need me to do it because all the other people who are trained by me, they can do it. Do it equally well, if not better. They don't really need me. But can they go and save souls? I said, no. When God calls, you understand the issues that are at stake. You have been given the knowledge. You owe it to the Lord, not the other people in my department. They're not believers. They can do a good job delivering babies, make sure mothers and babies go home happy. Good, wonderful. But then those things really do not satisfy, really do not edify and to get you on with your spiritual life. So 1968, I said, Lord, the time has come. I will gladly spend and be spent. So 1969, I walked out into the fresh air of Singapore. No longer as a part of the civil service. You know, in the civil service, I don't say it's bad, but you are in the system, you can move. And they say you are committed to death. How can you cope with 12, 13, 14, 15 committees? Whole day and night meetings. I say, what for? Someone else can do those meetings as well as I can, but someone else cannot go out and spend and be spent for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. I say, dear friends, consider this. You who have received the salvation grace of God, you have a responsibility. Are you repaying your gospel debt? As Paul says, I am debtor to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the well-educated as well as to the uneducated. I am a debtor. Woe is me if I pay not the gospel debt. How about you? I begin back to what I said in the beginning. Have you ever considered how many souls you have led to Christ? Have you? And then consider, what are you going to do in the future with your life? Some people say, wait till I retire, I will serve the Lord. But there is no guarantee that you're going to retire well and fit and healthy to serve the Lord. I've told you the story. 53-year-old Mr. Law was going to retire. Did a physical examination, x-rays came back. Extensive cancer in the lungs. He never even knew it. Now you retire into what? So I said, dear friends, don't say, wait till I retire. But what? If God has spoken to you, be ready and willing to spend and be spent. As I said, those who do not know Christ, they need to know the gospel before they can go and spend and be spent. But you have the gospel in you. You have a responsibility. You have a gospel debt to pay. Oh, my friends. So, 1969 was the date I had my freedom. It wasn't bad at all in the civil service. You know, I'm not saying it was bad. But I say you are committed to death. So many committees. You can't do a thing. All the time you're serving that committee. Now, out of KK Hospital, now I can serve the Lord and spend and be spent for the gospel's sake. Do all that work I want. All the hours and hours sitting in committees now is doing the gospel work. 1969 to now is 30, how many years? 36 years. 36 years, still going strong. The Lord is good. Eyes not dim. Natural force not abated. Still able to jog. I say, how about you? How about you? What have you done? Have you had the experience and the joy of leading one soul to Christ? Consider this, dear friends. So I conclude tonight to tell you Please, there is the example of Saul. Example of John Sung. And here, a living example. Why don't you be part of the gospel team? There is so much to be done. If you can't do anything, begin to pray tonight. Lord, give me the love for souls. For the worth of the soul is more than the whole world. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What? Nothing. Nothing is equated to a soul. The soul is the most precious thing, and that's what we are in. We are in the soul-saving industry. Come and join us, dear friends, and then be ready to spend and be spent for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, grant that we may all consider what we have done with our lives and how much more of that life is remaining, that we will consider how we can use that life for thy own glory and purpose. Speak to someone here tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.